everyone. Welcome back to whatever's left of my voice. I'm John Iderola, or what's left of him, got sick. I don't think it's the one you're thinking of, though. But anyway, I'm mostly back, fully back for a full Big News Wednesday is J.R. Jackson. J.R., how's it going?
What's going on? You got vaccinated, didn't you, John?
I got vaccinated and I got boosted. I understand you're supposed to like hide that information so that like alt-right people will watch your content. But no, I got boosted. What about you?
I just have a question. How's you got sick when you've been vaccinated, John?
It's just like low moral fiber, bad choices. No, I haven't gone anywhere. I had one family member who came to visit me who had had multiple negative COVID tests, but was very much sick and knew it. It just got me and everyone in my house sick. So anyway, I love this individual, I am totally sick and so is my wife. I think it's just a cold.
Yeah, I'm just doing my audition for being on Fox News for asking the most ridiculous question. How is it you're vaccinated, but you still can get something?
What's the point? I mean, anything that doesn't provide 100% protection isn't worth ever doing, obviously. It's so stupid. Anyway, I'm already feeling a little bit better. I've drunk a lot of tea, whatever. I'm on a lot of DayQuil and NyQuil at all times.
You're drunk off of the year.
So I was already on DayQuil, so that's good. But anyway, no, I'm feeling okay. How are you doing? How was your holidays?
Pretty uneventful, man. It's like it was just us at home. Because we can't go anywhere. We were planning on going somewhere. The wife and kid were gonna go off somewhere, and that all got canceled. Everything got changed. And Sprocket is moving my entire table.
Let him stop. He's awesome. Stop.
So anyways, he's still doing it. Everything just turned into literal chill. Open gifts, play with them, watch some TV, cook a little bit, and hang out. Three of us.
That's awesome. No, that's great. I watched a lot of movies, a lot of TV. Finished up Hawkeye. Finished up The Wheel of Time. I mostly, on Anna Kasparian's suggestion, have begun watching Succession.
Jenk told me to do that too.
I watched an episode and a half and it's not bad. I guess I'll keep watching it. But anyway, I am glad to be back. It's been a long time since I did a show. I was telling you in the pre-show or before the show, I don't remember how to do this, but thankfully it's like the easiest thing in the world. So I think I'll be able to figure it out. But anyway, over the course of the next 90 minutes, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna be talking about a lot of stuff. We've got a mass shooter with a fairly clear paper trail of ideology and hatreds and all that we're gonna be analyzing. Donald Trump comes out strongly in support of vaccines. That's good, especially because everyone in the country has COVID right now. So we'll be giving you all those updates. What the hell is going on with the CDC lately? Rand Paul has figured out how the Democrats stole the election. I saw that I think it had this in one of your emails. And it is like my favorite tweet of the last year. So we're definitely gonna be talking about that. And this stuff. I don't know. Someone lost a black friend and I feel really bad for them. So we're gonna analyze the cause for that, see if we can learn anything. So anyway, along the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great. We're still, trying to figure out this whole algorithm thing and get them to be on our side. And with all that said, JR, you ready to jump into Big News Wednesday?
I think I'm ready. I think
I'm ready. I think I'm down to about 80% voice already. So that's good. Let me tell you, not only we're doing this, and I'm gonna be joining Cenk in the second hour of the Young Turks. So that's crazy. Anna's off, I believe, for the week. And then tonight, in place of the bonus episode, we've got the Turks and Jerks of the Year. Always exciting. I had a little bit of difficulty choosing mine, but I'm gonna try to make the case later tonight. And tomorrow, no matter what producer Sophie says, we're gonna have the Garbage People of the Year. So Brett and I are gonna be choosing who we think has been most garbagey this year. Will there be overlap with the Turks and Jerks? Maybe, we'll see. No, I can just arbitrarily choose something else, Sophie, so don't nod your head at me. Anyway.
The new t-shirt will read Sophie Says.
Exactly, we gotta get a Sophie. It's just Sophie telling me to end the pre-show. That should be a shirt. Anyway, now with all of that said, let's jump into our first actual story. America's had yet another mass shooting, this time taking place in the area of Denver and Lakewood. The individual who's been identified as the shooter has been taken into custody after killing 5 people and wounding at least 2 others, including, from the early reports, what we're being told, a police officer that he shot. She then shot and killed him in retaliation. And so he's been identified as Lyndon James McLeod, a 47-year-old. And the police said that he had been on their radar. We don't have a lot of information about what that means. They say that they had investigated him in mid-2020 and early 2021, but that neither inquiry had resulted in charges. We don't know exactly what those investigations look like. Although, in this case, we do know quite a bit about what this person apparently believes. Some of what they believe about different groups, about women, about the use of violence. And so we can start to fill in a bit of the picture. We do know that he apparently knew most of the victims. He is not believed to have known the last person he shot, a clerk at a hotel. But police said that she might have been targeted owing to a dispute with the hotel. So very often, we don't know much about these mass shooters. And by the way, let me just throw out there, if you don't care, I get it. I get it. Like, we can try to learn lessons, but these lessons in America can only be so helpful, because no matter how much we learn about what causes people to engage in acts of mass violence like this, generally with guns, we also know that we live in a country that's probably never gonna do anything about it. So don't expect that us having a clear picture of who this person is necessarily is gonna stop these things from happening in the future. But that said, Lyndon McLeod was apparently an author dedicated to alt-right philosophies, including masculine supremacy, contrarian COVID-19 beliefs, and targeted violence against the weak. Now, this might seem to sort of narrow it down, but we also know that that describes an ever-increasing amount of the country, other than perhaps the author part. He apparently had a lot of Twitter and Instagram accounts under the alias Roman McClay. And with it, he talked about a 3-book series he wrote called Sanction. This book has been described in an Amazon review as eloquent reflection. He wrote this, by the way, eloquent reflections on dominance, hierarchies, psychology, technology, nature, violence, anatomy and physiology, sexual morality, drug use, politics, and a whole mess of stuff. And it follows a character that apparently is him. And in these books, he kills dozens and dozens of people, including in events very similar to the mass shooting that he conducted. And so, you, like me, might be very frustrated that he's describing things that he might want to do. That said, people write a lot of crazy things. JR, what do you make of this?
So we're going into the details of this guy's background, potentially his motivations, potentially how he's just not really connected to reality all that much, because he's trying to live out his fantasies, which he wrote in a fictional book. So is he a good guy or a bad guy?
In his mind?
No, in Wayne LaPierre's mind, in the NRA's mind, in conservative thought mind, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? Because that's the basis for whether or not we're gonna, you know, be spreading guns around. A reason why we must spread guns around, because you need a good guy with a gun to make sure that you confront the bad guy with the gun. Is he a bad guy? Where does that start? Because he wrote about it, then he began the shooting. Was he a bad guy when he was already on the police's radar? Was he a bad guy when he was already thinking about it? And it's a thought process now going. If we didn't have this influx of millions of guns across the country, it wouldn't matter if he's a good guy or a bad guy. It wouldn't matter if he's about to go off and commit these crimes and start killing people indiscriminately, or to fulfill his fantasies in his fictional book. It wouldn't matter. But instead, because we have all these guns and we've caused this influx of them, because we say stupid things like we need more good guys with guns than bad guys with guns, then we end up with more situations like this, where then, as you said, not much will happen, because what can you do now? Mm-hmm. We already have the influx of guns. We're already over drowning in these guns now. So the good guy with a gun and the bad guy with a gun doesn't make any difference anymore, because everybody's got them. So the bad guy's got them and the good guy's got them. And if the bad guy sneaks up on you and shoots your family up, it doesn't matter how many good guys are around. Everybody's got the guns. So we've put this whole thing into this good guy, bad guy, 5-year-old cops and robbers thing, when it's actually affecting people's lives. We just did a story yesterday about that girl in the Burlington Coat Factory. It got shot by cops because there was more good guys that ran up in the store and shot up the assailant and the girl.
Yep.
This is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and also, like, I think one of the things that makes what you just said so fair is that, like, right up and like, obviously they're not going to claim that once he began killing people, he was a good guy. But right up until then, he was acting exactly as they say that you should.
Totally.
You should be obsessed with all of the things he says he has eloquent reflections on. You should be obsessed with sexual morality and people who use drugs. And you should have this like old school idea of what women should be like and about being an alpha wolf and all this. You should do all those things. But they can't actually be warning signs. Like the police were looking into him. All of this stuff in hindsight seems like a lot of red flags that this guy was gonna do what he did, but not from the point of view of the right wingers. He was espousing the exact worldview that they like. And I'll ask them one question. So we know that the police looked into him both earlier this year and in 2020. Wouldn't it have been better if they'd taken his guns? Wouldn't the world be a much better place if they'd taken every gun he had and stopped him from getting another gun? Isn't that always the case in these situations? But they won't say it. Like they literally won't respond to that question. They don't have the guts to actually do so.
I would love to hear the answer.
To learn any, like I don't have any answers coming out of this. We have a culture that is filled with broken men like this guy that go out and kill people. Sometimes just one people, sometimes a bunch of people, but they have been spun into insanity by this culture, told that this is what strength looks like, and then sent out there to kill people. So I don't have an answer, but I think the right should probably engage with it since it's a problem on their side. Remember the guy that drove into that holiday gathering? They still are trying to use that as some sort of attack against the left because they say, hey, did you know that the guy who did it was black and some of the people he killed was white? They think that that's like checkmate. This is literally a guy who wrote books about his politics and they will never even acknowledge that this happened. No. It could not be more clear who this guy was. He talks about how much he loved Trump. The stuff he says is insane about Trump. He seems to believe that Trump values loyalty or something like that. So this guy is obviously insane and has no grasp on reality, but they're not going to learn anything from this because they don't want to. They want lots and lots of young white men in this country to grow up to be like him. Now, if they could stop them from actually going and doing most of the shootings, they'd probably prefer that, but they definitely want them to follow this guy's model on life all the way up until the guns start firing.
If you've seen his profile, as you point out, and I'm not gonna belabor this too long, I promise. But if you've seen the profile that you talked about, the things that he went through and his thought processes and all that, many right-wingers, they understand that people get built up. You talk about the what amounted to toxic masculinity with him thinking there's this dominance of the male culture that needs to happen and all this. So if you don't think that type of thing is taught, and then it's nurtured, and then it grows in boys that become men like this, then why is it that they're so hell-bent on stopping critical race theory in schools? Why is it they want to eliminate certain books from certain libraries so your kids won't learn certain things? Because it'll affect them maybe? Why is it you don't want them to learn that LGBTQ plus community are humans and that they get to be who they are? So whenever we're pushing back on education about what kids need to know and learn, it's because they don't want them to learn certain things because they know once things are embedded in your brain, you maybe become a type of person who espouses those beliefs and maybe acts on them. So they think a person is gonna hate the country if they learn about our history and our severely racist history in all of its forms and the details of it. So it's pretty obvious that they would acknowledge that we shouldn't be teaching our young men things like this or exposing them to types of hatred towards other people where they think they have to have a me against the world type of mentality and I gotta go shoot them all. They know that. They know it because they say it happens with critical race theory, which it doesn't. It just educates people, but they don't want the education to go a certain way that'll keep guys like this from being on the streets and doing things like this just because it doesn't really fit their narrative and they can't win elections like that. They need these types of voters. They just hope they're not gonna kill everybody.
Yeah, and in this case, in addition to him dying, he killed five other people, an absolute tragedy. I mean, it's the sort of tragedy that we just have every couple of days, basically, in the United States. That is itself an additional tragedy. And we just, like, JR, like, we see this, and we know the people, we already know. We know, if he listened to podcasts, we know what podcasts he listened to. If he ever read a book, we know whose book he bought and then read the first three pages of and then stopped. Like, we already know the people that are trying to appeal to these sorts of broken men. So what are we supposed to do? Like, what's the alternative? Like, is there a counter like push to this, other people trying to get through to these, not just men that are broken for a variety of reasons, but this movement that is trying to break them so that then they will be theirs. Like, what, are we supposed to do it? I don't want to. I don't want to have to make that be my thing that I try to get through these people. But clearly there's a lot of them and it's killing people. And yeah, anyway, it's just so frustrating to see so much like callous, cruel exploitation of these people and then turning them into callous and cruel people.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, really fast, we also have a number of other mass shootings that have been taking place in Colorado. In March, a gunman killed 10 people at a Boulder grocery store, including a police officer. About 2 months later, a gunman opened fire at a birthday party in Colorado Springs, killing 6 people before taking his own life. Last month, 6 teenagers were wounded in a drive-by shooting at a park in the Denver suburb of Aurora. The Gun Violence Archive has counted 687 shootings with 4 or more people injured or killed just this year. So like if we were to do what seems rational and responsible, which is to cover every one of these, because every one of these is a disaster, that would be the entire show
every day,
every week, every month, every year. That's what it would be, thanks to America and its guns.
And if you think about what's left over as far as families that lose every day, multiple people lost every day from things like this. They left the house or they're in the house, and that's just the last day that they're around, and the family has to deal with that forever. And as you said, this will be every day, every show forever. And that's the number of times this happens to people's families permanently. We move on. Tomorrow, we're not gonna talk about this. Where all the victims are gonna be feeling this for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we got some updates on COVID. It's gotten absolutely devastating. We do have some good comments from Donald Trump, though. That'll be a surprise, and that's coming up after this. Okay, let's jump into this video.
Stand on, forget about the mandates that people have to have their freedom, but at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917. Remember, the Spanish flu killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with 3 vaccines. All are very, very good. Came up with 3 of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden. That's right. Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
what about something else? Because I don't like this stuff you're saying. What about something I like? How about that? So that's Candace Owens a few days ago talking with Donald Trump. Now, they talked for a while, including there was more about COVID. So I want you to rest assured that he said plenty of insane things about COVID that do fit in with her worldview. But JR, in that clip, what he said was largely coherent. Largely rational. He acknowledged that while yes, more people have died this year, it is predominantly people who are not vaccinated who are dying at far higher rates. That's true. I was honestly shocked. Not that he said that vaccines are good. He's done that before and we've given him credit as much as it hurts us to do that. But that he then doubled down, like she tried to rein things in, like, no, Trump, don't imply that it's good to get the vaccine. But he doubled down saying you will be protected if you get it. You're less likely to be hospitalized, you're less likely to die. Yes, you might still get COVID, but you're likely to have a much more mild case. All of that was true, and it was fairly clear that she did not like him saying that in an interview with her.
Yeah, she didn't hear much else after she saw him going down that road. So the response was, so Mr. Potato Head, I mean, it's one thing. to, right?
And what also about masks.
Yeah. Donald J. Fauci over here is saying the same things that the arch nemesis of the conservative movement and anti-vaxxers in general are against. Hey, the people who are unvaccinated are the ones ending up in the hospital. At this point, the sickest ones, the people dying, are the ones that are unvaccinated. That's just the way it works. I remember this like, let's go Brandon type guy saying the same stuff because the doctors and the experts that know about this stuff told him that same thing, which everyone already knew anyway. So maybe Donald Trump can tell his former advisors, maybe he can tell Ron Johnson. I think he's one of them that said it as well. So what's the whole point of vaccines if people are still getting COVID?
Yeah.
Talk to your boy. He's got the answer because he finally figured it out. But the ironic part is the only reason he figured it out is because he damn near died from it. That's when it takes something for him to finally realize how this whole thing works. He's like, well, you see, I almost died when the vaccines weren't available. But now that I got it, I feel a little bit better because I definitely don't want to die. And since I was 5 minutes from death, I don't want to feel that again either. That's how many people who think this way work. They're like, once it affects me, oh, it's on and popping. Now, let's not forget. There was one part about that, as you pointed out, not even one part, but there's multiple parts about that were still very Donald Trumpian, which was, I had no idea Donald Trump was standing in labs with long white coats on, looking inside a microscope and testing whether or not this combination of a process works, man, because he developed three vaccines. He developed three vaccines very quickly. I mean, he was his ass off. He was in the lab, man. It was crazy, man. They kept trying to stop me, and I was like, no, I'm gonna work all night on this vaccine.
That dude was just like, for a solid 6 months, he was goggles and beakers and little drippy things. That's what his life was, Libs. Just get over it. That's what it was. Yeah, so that's obviously stupid. It was
like a train of a bunch of tubes in his office. And then he had a constant background music of ding doo ding doo ding doo ding doo ding doo ding doo ding doo.
Trip, trip, trip. If there were a series of tubes in his office, then there were definitely hamsters crawling around. That's the only way I can see that happening. Anyway, so look, obviously it's a joke. Again, as we've said, the vaccines were developed in part, some of them, not all, with money that came from the government. Again, some, not all of the money came from the government, and literally anyone who had been president was going to give that money. So it's ridiculous that he wants to claim credit. But sure, he was president, and I also think that's another reason that he's willing to acknowledge that vaccines are real. One, he went through the experience. I think more importantly, he wants credit for it. And they weirdly like want to give him credit for the thing that they then spend 99% of their time saying is probably going to kill you. And she continued with that. So look, she's going to have to respond to this because the issue isn't that he doesn't agree with her on some things. He does agree with her on some things. She tried to take the whole thing back to mandates, and he was perfectly willing to play ball on that, saying that mandates shouldn't be required and all of that. But the issue with that is that even when he agrees on mandates, that is not good enough. That he did undercut basically everything she and the other grifters are saying because they don't like the mandates, that's true. But they go way further than that. They say you shouldn't have to take the vaccine. And sometimes they'll cloak it in the vague liberty stuff or whatever. But generally they want something more compelling than that, which is, it's bad for you. It will kill you. That's what Tucker Carlson has been alluding to for literally months. But if you accept what Donald Trump says there, which is it's good, it'll protect you. Sure, you don't have to take it. But if there's no good reason not to, then their position looks stupid, which it is. And that makes her look terrible. And so she has to scramble to salvage her grift. And so she's going to do that. She went on Instagram Live, and here's what she had to say.
Are good, and he believes that because he comes from a generation, like people you oftentimes forget, like how old Trump is. He comes from a generation. I've seen other people that are older have the exact same perspective. Like they came from a time before TV, before internet, before being able to conduct their independent research, you know, and everything that they read in a newspaper that was pitched to them, like they believed that that was a reality. And one of those things was, you know, this push for vaccines and believing that people were going to die without vaccines. And so I believe that his support of the vaccine is genuine and it's not based in any corruption at all.
Okay, so just to continue that, she says, I don't think anything evil is going on. I think he genuinely believes that, and he needs to sit down and have a conversation with someone, a larger conversation with someone, to really understand what's going on and why so many people are just horrified. Like, that is true of virtually every position he has.
Totally.
Except she has, in this weird mirror universe applied it to the one thing in which he agrees with the scientific consensus. He's only supporting vaccines, not because they're clearly working and he knows that, but because he doesn't get his news from Breitbart or something. He doesn't go on the same 4chan threads that she does. What a stupid, it's like, it's a, first of all, it's incredibly patronizing towards him and making him out to be a child who believes dumb stuff because he doesn't go on enough fake news websites. But it's also, it's a terrible defense of her position.
100%. No, that's the thing. It's ironic that this party that fawns over this guy and everything he says, he's the smartest person alive, smartest person I've ever met in my life, strongest, most powerful, resilient guy on earth. He's never said anything wrong. And then the one time that he says something that makes some sense, you go, oh my, well, I mean, the thing is that he's just kind of crazy. He doesn't read anything. He's old. Man, he's a bit decrepit. If you think about it, his brain just might be slowing down. Like they're going straight down the same lane. Because what's more, what they're showing here is that Donald Trump to them is nothing more than a vehicle to get to their own prosperity, to take people for more money, to say things on their air. Oh, I got Donald Trump. Come watch this. You guys give me more money. Give me more money. Supply my income. And then once he says something that no longer pushes my grift, oh, well, I'm done with this guy. He's just Donald J. Trump, that former president that no one really liked. That's what we've seen here. And we knew that in 2015 when he first came down that escalator and every conservative and Republican said, somebody get this guy out of here. He's insane. He's crazy and he's never going to be president. They all said the same thing. Do not forget.
Well, and let's not forget that she was one of those who had no interest in him early on. She is one of the worst in that bunch at hiding how transparent the grift is. Didn't she literally have, was she the one who had the website that mocked the size of his genitals? Like she was just trying, I believe she was, I could be wrong. But anyway, she was against him, but that didn't turn out to be a profitable path. So they just flipped because it's not based on anything. It's just trying to get an audience, trying to get money. And look, more power to her, she's been able to do that. She's been able to con some Republicans into believing her or thinking that she's clever or whatever. But this is the ammunition that she's coming with. Like, well, he's not bad. He's not evil. I just think he doesn't go on 4chan enough, and I think he should. Like you're right. She's sort of implying that his brain is Swiss cheese, but at the very least, like here comes the Tony says on our Twitch chat, she's definitely calling him sheep at the very least.
100%.
But here's the thing. He was the president. He doesn't have to like go to the New York Times website or Breitbart and do his does she get that there's primary sources for this stuff, that reporting is not where information comes from? It's like a distillation of it. That's not what information is. He can meet with the actual people making the vaccines. I'm not saying that he would. I don't think he's clever enough or curious enough to do that, but you could actually do that.
Well, John, he did get presidential briefings like every day. Come on.
He could have anyway. By the way, so he doesn't do his independent research like she does, which is why he doesn't do things to ward off the COVID like she does. So for instance, in that Instagram broadcast, she said she takes colloidal silver as one way to ward off the coronavirus, telling one follower she takes a teaspoon a day or when I'm sick. Colloidal silver, quote, has no valid medical purpose and plenty of potential dangers, including organ failure, according to the Mayo Clinic. But colloidal silver's most famous side effect is argyria, a condition that turns users' skin a bluish gray color, usually permanently. So that's cool, you know, for some cosplay or whatever. But like their whole argument is that the ones who are a little bit less crazy will say, we don't know about this vaccine, which isn't true. We know plenty about it. Some will say that it does bad things. They have no evidence of that. Some will just say, we don't know. But that is completely undercut by the fact that all of their replacements for the vaccine are things that have demonstrable negative health impacts. But that doesn't stop them from taking them literally when they're not even sick yet.
This isn't even a new grift. Jim Baker, the prosperity pastor, televangelist, who's crazy. He was sued by the state of Missouri over pushing colloidal silver because of how it doesn't do anything for COVID and has the damaging effects. He was selling that. He was slinging that on his cable show like he was QVC. Like that's all they were talking about. This is early in the pandemic. This is like, you know, late spring of 20.
Yeah.
So this isn't even a new aspect of her push. It's like, I guess I'll go back 2 years ago and go to colloidal silver again. You guys are dumb. You'll buy it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's so pathetic. But by the way, like, there's so much in that video that we have to gloss over. But one was when her defense is, well, more people have died this year than last year. But you also say every day that it's not serious and we shouldn't care about it. But you're acknowledging that it killed more people. It's just none of this is consistent. None of it makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, really fast. So I've been gone for a while, and I have to admit that I forgot to give the entire audience a Christmas present. But I do have something to give to them, which are these tweets. Marjorie Greene had something to say about Donald Trump's recent commentary about vaccines. So we're gonna jump into her thought process. She tweeted, I just got off the phone with my favorite president of all time, Donald J. Trump. We discussed many issues, people, races in 22, as well as vaccines and mandates. We discussed COVID-19, how awful the virus from China has been, and how horribly it's been politicized. Yes, they hate politicizing it or getting people to organize their political ideology or identity around COVID. They definitely don't like that. She goes on to say, this is such an amazing sentence from this woman who considers herself some kind of alpha. Like, then I'm not gonna, McCarthy can't control me. Mitch McConnell can't control, nobody can control me. Then she says, I have President Trump's permission to tell you all that he is 100% against the mandates, but he still encourages everyone to get the vaccine and booster. That is his position. He also said if he was president, he would never mandate the vaccines and no one would be fired. His whole thing is literally you're fired. So that's a weird position to take. But anyway, she has his permission to tell the audience something that he says over and over again publicly and indeed did during that interview. Well, that, thank you for being a primary source for that information. She goes on to say, finally, for everyone that criticizes President Trump about when COVID started with shoulda, couldas, and wouldas, she's doing like the possessive there. You could just put the S. Anyway, I think he and his administration did the best they could. The virus was brand new and we'd never seen anything like it. Biden deserves the criticism. He has no excuses. So the guy that didn't do anything is blameless. The guy who has tried and you've undercut is the one who deserves the blame. How about this? How about blame both of them? Both of them could have done more. Oh, also you definitely deserve some blame because you didn't want us to do anything when it was new and you don't want us to do anything now.
100%. I mean, that's just the way it works. And now back to the coulda, wouldas and shouldas that shouldn't be in the possessive form. The thing is there coulda, wouldas and shouldas now, but when he was not doing anything, it was should. Could, would,
please,
right now,
please do
right now for a year straight. You know what you should do, Mr. President, not what you should have done. It's still time. Do it now. Still didn't do it. So no more. There's no hindsight as 2020 from the people who are criticizing Donald Trump and his response to COVID. The hindsight was right then, and it was also from the medical. I mean, from the scientific community who understand how these things work and told us how it would work. Like now, we're still learning about this specific virus. But this is how these things work. And every time we learn something else, this is what we're giving you information on. Listen to it. And instead, it's look how they're trying to control me with their information and smart people.
Yeah.
That's what we got instead. So then it turned into shoulda, wouldas, and couldas. And lastly, Biden deserves the criticism. He has no excuses, is what she said in that third tweet. In that thread. Was that a thread, John?
It was a thread,
At the top of that thread, again, at the bottom of that thread, it was, Biden deserves the criticism. At the top of that thread, it was, we discussed COVID, how awful it is, and how horribly it's been.
Yep.
Isn't it horrible how you keep politicizing things, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
It is.
Sucks. I think we need to stop.
You're right. It shouldn't be politicized. Also, so he deserves the criticism. He has no excuses. Let me ask a follow-up question. No excuses for what? What would you like him to do? You don't want them to do anything. You don't want mandates. You don't want people to take the vaccine. You don't think that they should get tested. What is he not doing that you would like him to do then, honestly?
What?
Literally the only things that she would say he is doing that is worth criticizing is the mandates. But that's obviously the mandates aren't leading to more death. So if the cases, hospitalizations, and deaths deserve blame, why would he have the blame when you literally don't want him to do anything to stop it? None of it makes any sense, but But again, it doesn't have to, because as crazy as she is, the people who are gobbling this up are even crazier. And with that said, we do have to get to the COVID update. We're going to take our quick second break, and then we're going to get into that and a few other things right after this. Okay, we're going to try to get through as much as we can. Time she is wasting. Let's jump into this video.
Is there any science backing up the idea that after 5 days of asymptomatic isolation that you're not still shedding virus and contagious?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing is going to be 100%. And this is one of those situations when you're dealing with a very difficult situation, Chris, that we often say you don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. The fact is that we know that when you are infected early on in infection for the first several days, you have more of a likelihood to have a high level of virus and to be capable of spreading it. As you get into the second half of that 10-day period, we know that the virus in general, not for every single 100% of the people, but for most of the time, for most of the people, that level of virus diminishes to the point where the CDC feels, and I don't disagree with them at all, that wearing a mask is ample protection during that second half of a 10-day period. When you balance that against the importance of trying to get people back functioning in society, because the alternative is something that no one wants, and that's to shut down completely.
Okay, so that's Fauci explaining some of the changing advice coming out of the CDC. Understand that this new advice, where you don't have to quarantine for as long, and it's becoming increasingly clear that the CDC is doing this not because of a new, better understanding of the science, but a new, better understanding of how corporate America would love you to go back to work, that they're doing this during a time of literally record COVID cases, not like, oh God, a new wave is coming, or oh God, it's the highest it's been in 6 months. No, like the highest it's ever been. Let's take you to the case count. This is the New York Times. They had a day that registered 543,000 new cases. So that might be something having to do with reporting coming out of the weekend or the holidays or whatever. But what is indisputable is that we had a 7-day average of 243,000 cases. And that means we had several days far above that. We had one day that had broken the previous record by 140,000 cases.
Jesus.
And it's during all of that, amidst winter and holiday travel, the CDC is like, look, this is my interpretation. I'm not an expert. I don't have insider information. But I feel like what the CDC is saying, regardless of how they might may gussy it up with, you know, PowerPoint presentations, is ugh, whatever. That's what it feels like. This feels to me like a year and a half in what Trump was doing a week and a half in, which is just go back to work, honestly. Like whatever is going to happen is going to happen. You're all going to get it. That's what it feels like to me, JR. What do you think?
You know, and at a certain point, you would think it would get there. Because again, so at the beginning, the deniers to the whole existence of COVID was that it's just the flu. Some of them would say that it's just the flu. It's just the flu. And the flu is something to not be really messed with at this point, but you still can. It's a common enough thing that people don't go, oh my God, I'm gonna die. Although people still do. So you think it would eventually get to that point with this. It's just, it's premature. Yes, as every year goes, the strains could get different or could get weaker. Or maybe at some point, this particular one is harder to combat with vaccines. That's the yearly cycle with the flu. Mm-hmm. Because we've normalized it, it's become a normal thing to take some precautions. Maybe not enough because people still get it. But this is a little early. And the reason why it's early is what's so troubling about this.
Yeah.
It's not based in, okay, it's kind of become this normal thing. So many people get vaccinated. And then now we have a level of protection that if you kind of get it, we have standards and things that we can do to help you out. We're not there yet. We know eventually we have to ease up. And the reason would be just because it's safe enough. We're not there. We're just not there.
Yeah, the thing that during 2020, the consensus of the government, the federal government, whether we liked it or not, in most Republican states was, let's just do herd immunity. And they don't use that term anymore, but that's what they've wanted all along. That's what most of the right has signed up for, whether they understand that that's what they're doing or not. Just let everyone get sick, those who will die will die. Those who will go to the hospital and suffer with long COVID for the rest of their life just will. And I think that the Biden administration did want to take a different course. They thought, let's just vaccinate as many people as possible. And that ran up against, no, this is America. We're dumb as hell, and we're not going to take your solutions to problems. So we didn't get vaccinated enough. We also didn't vaccinate the rest of the world. We were selfish, kept it to ourselves.
Yep.
So we provided a worldwide breeding ground for more variants, some of which would inevitably break through the vaccine protection we had. And so that's what we're experiencing. Now, what we have like on the good side is those of us who want to be vaccinated and get a second shot and a third shot and soon a fourth shot can do that if we want to. And I would advise you to because you live in a dangerous world. Also, this is the variant that is least deadly, least likely to end you up in a hospital. Some Republicans are jumping on that wholeheartedly saying, just well, now there's our opportunity. Now do the thing that I've been saying all along you should do, just get sick. Well, it's not as simple as that because it is still killing people. Hospitalizations are going up once again if we want to go to that chart. So that is scary. But I suppose at least if it was going to happen that even the CDC appears to have somewhat given up, that at least it's happening amidst a variant that is less deadly while still being deadly. And still, it's going to result in a lot of people being sick. And, you know, for instance, because so many people are getting sick, also the rapid tests apparently aren't as good as picking up Omicron. So that's delightful. Also, Texas has run out of their monoclonal antibody treatment. Oh, so man. I know that was supposed to be the solution to everything, right? Yeah. Right wing? Like Florida. Like you've got this thing. Don't even worry about people getting sick. And remember what Florida like 2 months ago was all like, hey, how come nobody's giving us credit for our case count going down after spiking to insane levels once again? No, they're getting like 30,000 cases a day. You'll notice that they're not bragging anymore. Mm. But anyway, it's a disaster. Don't go out to big parties and big gatherings. Please try not to. It's still dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, this, John, you talked about how you had folks visit and then. Look what just a cold that you got. So if you could have missed your family for that week or a few days, you'll see them again. You guys, yep. You'll see them again. The problem is if you say, I must see them because it's the holiday season, I must see them. You're gonna make it your last time seeing them? Is that worth it? Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen my parents. I've seen my parents from a balcony two times in the past 2 years. My parents are a little older.
Yeah.
I love seeing them. They're not that far away. But you can't go, well, I got to see my mama. And then once you see her, you're like, oh, okay, sorry, ma.
Yeah.
Kind of carried this whole virus with me there because I had to see you. Where's the logic? Like, just a little bit of patience. We're all a bunch of 4-year-olds who can't wait to get into the candy and eat all of it and then have a stomach ache and be like, why is my stomach hurting? You guys told me I could have some. Like, it's such stupid logic. Why don't we
Jared, you are so right. America failed the marshmallow test. That's all it is. Totally. Like culturally, we failed, and it's gonna get worse. Like we just had all the Christmas travel. We know that there's a delayed period for people to manifest symptoms. We're already at record levels. Do you have any idea what the case counts are gonna be like in a week?
Even if you didn't believe it, even if you think that Fauci and Biden are responsible and making this up, it happened last year. Your reality should tell you that this is how this works. You don't have to listen to anybody. Be your own person and stop listening to the media and the government. Watch what just happened last year. We had spikes during the holiday season because of the same reason we have a spike for this holiday season.
Yeah, and even if you think that you're inevitably gonna get it, which is looking more and more like a self-fulfilling prophecy, definitely get vaccinated while you can. Like because even if you're responsible, you might get it. So I think I have a cold right now. I'm gonna get tested. It is possible that what I have right now is COVID. And thank God I was vaccinated because maybe I'm less likely to spread it. Maybe what I'm experiencing won't be as bad as it could have been. I feel pretty good right now, actually. Maybe that's the DayQuil talking. I don't know, but I feel pretty good. So do what you can. What you cannot do is put up a 100% shield against you ever getting COVID. That is not going to work. But you can and should take protective defensive measures as you do with literally everything else in your life. Now that said, let's close out this hour, switching things up quite a bit. Stoneflower Dragon says the first guy that died from Omicron had COVID before, so much for antibodies. I know, and that's the other right's defense is that just get sick so that you'll never have it again, which still requires you to get sick. It's insanity. Okay, let's jump into this last story. Former Senator Harry Reid has passed away. He was 82 years old. Now, of course, in Democratic politics, he was a massive figure, especially during the Obama years. People are saying in Nevada, he's like the most important politician of the modern era. And people are sort of seeing him off with stories of their experiences with him. Ryan Grimm, you know, friend of the network, had experiences with him. I even learned a little bit in some of the obituaries that are being written now. Like in the New York Times, they wrote up, this is an amazing turn of phrase, he was raised in almost Dickensian circumstances in tiny Searchlight, Nevada. His home had no indoor plumbing. His father was an alcoholic minor who eventually died by suicide, and his mother helped the family survive by taking in laundry from local brothels. And then he rose, of course, to become, you know, an incredibly powerful politician in the Senate among the Democrats. JR, most of his time, like as a political figure, was pre me being involved in this, but I know you obviously were there during the big years of Harry Reid. What do you think about, you know, him passing?
Yeah, it's a profile. What we always knew about Harry Reid was he was the nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. And especially as a politician in the Senate, when people talk about the unprecedented level of division in the country now. And maybe it is, maybe because society and social media and access to what people say and do is a lot more prevalent than back when Harry Reid was in the Senate and majority leader. But the thing is, people, I think, are beginning to see how all this has worked before, and just there's going to be a lot of revisionist history in remembering what he did and didn't do. But one thing that's been across all of these obituaries is how nice of a guy he was.
Yeah.
And maybe that doesn't always work when it comes to getting something done or agenda passed. Now, he did do things like in the whole filibuster thing at the end of a term right before the midterms and then yeah, hand over a bunch of. So who knows how much of that. So at the time when Cenk and all of us were screaming about that, it was like, see the weakness. Cenk was just talking about this yesterday because we saw this news break at the end of the show. And so it was the same type of thought process, like, yeah, this sweet guy and everybody loved him, which is fine. But remember, you can remember that part about his character and personality, which is great. Everyone loved the guy. It seemed like even opponents. And then, but we have to look at his effect on how now much of the Democratic Party approaches politics and agenda and their approach to how they get things done. And it's very similar. It's very piece by piece. Obama said, he's the reason I'm here. All that stuff. It's greatness fawning.
Yeah.
There's good and there's bad, like anyone else.
Yeah, it is interesting, like how universally people are seemingly okay. Like, I'm sure there's, if you look, you can probably find some insane people, but this isn't like a Dick Cheney thing. This isn't like a Scalia. This is like, to jump ahead, here's a contrast I want to give you. So how broad the approval is. So this is a tweet from AOC who said, sometimes at a quiet or difficult moment, Harry Reid would reach out. It was like he knew. His counsel, encouragement, kindness, and generosity was so deeply moving. It was sincere, and I will never forget it. Thank you, Senator Reid, wishing peace and strength to his family. So that's AOC, you know, a progressive Democrat. Donald Trump had written him a letter saying, congratulations, you are amazing. Now, granted, that was a while ago. But Mitch McConnell said after he passed, the nature of Harry's and my jobs brought us into frequent and sometimes intense conflict over policy and politics. But I never doubted that Harry was always doing what he earnestly, deeply felt was right for Nevada and our country. He will rightly go down in history as a crucial, pivotal figure in the development and history of his beloved home state. So normally for me, because I'm a cynic, I didn't start that way, but American politics did that to me. When people broadly are really nice to a politician after they die, I imagine it's because they did what our political system wants. Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of progressives who have had interactions with him over years that have said that he is not an example of that sort of thing. I'm just so naturally cynical at this point that I don't know, it's hard to accept that, especially because of the experience of the Obama years of how, yes, they accomplished some things, but so clearly could have accomplished so much more if they'd chosen to.
Yeah, yeah. I want you really final fast. Thought. I don't know what I'm gonna stop, but the thing is also the reason you honor people like this is because they were known and maybe they did a lot for the country.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, great. But there's people, as you talked earlier, people die every day, normal folks that are great character people, but we kind of brush over it because we're not worried about their legacy. The reason we honor them and their character and people like Harry Reid is because we want to preserve their legacy. Why is this legacy so important so we can continue to have the same process that we have? Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.